and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The fallout between President Trump and Elon Musk is getting uglier. It started with the president's spending bill.
I'd rather have him criticize me than the bill, because the bill is incredible. It's the biggest cut in the history of our country. We've never cut. It's about $1.6 trillion in cuts.
But the feud has escalated, with Musk saying Trump wouldn't have been elected without him, and Trump threatening to cut Musk's government contracts. Hamas said today it's ready to enter new talks for a Gaza ceasefire. The Supreme Court sided with an Ohio woman who was suing her employer for reverse discrimination and was required to meet a higher bar. CBS's Jan Crawford.
The justices said no. If you're a member of a majority group, if you're straight, if you're white, you don't have to jump through an extra hoop just to have your day in court, just to try to prove your case.
The high court also ruled against Mexico in its case against U.S. gun makers. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Trump administration is scrutinizing Wisconsin's top election agency. Federal funding for voter education and poll worker training could be on the line. The U.S. Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division issued a sharp warning to the Wisconsin Elections Commission in a letter yesterday, saying that the agency is out of compliance with federal law. At issue, the DOJ says the commission lacks a proper administrative complaint process, a requirement under the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is a bipartisan body established roughly a decade ago by former Governor Scott Walker. It oversees election guidance for nearly 2,000 local clerks, and the agency does have a complaint system and investigative process in place. Any eligible Wisconsin voter can file a complaint. But the DOJ's letter suggests that may not meet federal standards. Since 2002, Wisconsin has received more than $77 million to help administer elections after HAVA, the post-2000 election law that aimed to make voting more accessible and secure. This latest federal push comes amid continued complaints over a mobile voting van used in Racine during a primary years ago. The city said the van expanded access for voters, but former Racine GOP chair Kenneth Brown disagreed and sued. The case went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which tossed it out earlier this year. The court's liberal majority ruled that Brown wasn't personally harmed and had no standing. State Republican lawmakers are taking another swing. A new bill, backed by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, would make it easier to sue if complaints to the Election Commission were dismissed. That proposal had a public hearing earlier this week. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Aaron Rodgers headed to Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Aaron Rodgers has decided to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. ESPN reporting the 41-year-old quarterback will report to the team's mandatory minicamp next week. Rodgers was asked if he's kept in contact with head coach Mike Tomlin after he visited the Steelers facilities in person earlier this year.
But yeah, I mean, listen, I've talked to Mike Tomlin. Yeah, great dude. So it was nice to go into the city. I'd never really spent any time in Pittsburgh other than the few times we've played there. But yeah, I've enjoyed talking to Mike.
So that sets up a showdown when the Packers travel to Pittsburgh on October 26th to play the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Baseball. The Brewers have the night off after beating the Reds yesterday 9-1. Milwaukee winning that series 2-1. Manager Pat Murphy.
Really proud of our club to respond the way it did. Really, really proud of it.
The Brewers now get ready to host the San Diego Padres tomorrow night with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, some areas of smoke and lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, a high in the low 70s, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and storms. A mix of sun and clouds for the weekend, more storms possible. Highs both days within a few degrees of 70. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Wayne York, who makes the popcorn pick of the week. And then organized crime expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk about presidents and their connections to the mob.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I guess the only way I can describe this is a billionaire weird guy feud that's happening right now on Twitter. If you are not glued to your Twitter or true social accounts, my goodness, I'm going to tell you all about what is going on. Elon Musk and Donald Trump, consider the love affair over, question mark? Or, ladies and gentlemen, is this all a distraction from the big, brutal bill and the devastation that it will wreak for everyday Americans? Just moments ago, a story coming out in the New York Times that millions of ACA enrollees will lose their health care coverage under the big, brutal bill. We knew that the ACA or exchange medical plan coverage would get much, much more expensive. For some people, maybe even nearly double the cost under the big, brutal bill. New analysis showing that millions will lose their health care, not just because of the Medicaid cuts, but because of what the brutal bill does to the ACA. We have got a stacked show this afternoon. We are going to be joined as soon as possible by Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan. So excited to have Representative Pocan joining me, especially because he's in on the Musk-Trump feud, retweeting some of what Donald Trump has just posted, thanking Donald Trump for his endorsement of the bill that Representative Pocan introduced called the Elon Musk Act. I can't wait to talk with him about it. Oh my gosh, so much happening. Even Aaron Rodgers making news this afternoon. Not to worry, everybody. We have you covered back to front. We've got, of course, Representative Pocan starting us out this afternoon. Then we're going to be joined by Center for American Progress Action Fund Senior Fellow Tom Javits talking about immigration. We've got William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward talking about Medicaid. Maybe we can sneak in some of this new reporting from the New York Times. Also in breaking news this afternoon, An ethics complaint, frankly, a pretty big deal, has been filed in the state of Florida against Attorney General Pam Bondi. This ethics complaint, this misconduct complaint, filed by Democracy Defenders Fund, as well as lawyers defending American democracy, lawyers for the rule of law, along with a whole slew of other prominent attorneys, law professors, and former judges. We're going to dig into all of this, including the fact that Mark Pocan went toe-to-toe with Russell Vogt, the head of the Office of Management and Budget, yesterday, and I think ate the man's lunch. We've got that sound for you as well. But of course, let's do the fun thing first. You all know, if you've been listening to the Civic Media Network, that it is the Wisconsin Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, where in the 4 o'clock hour on this program every day and in every network talk show across the network, you're going to have a chance to win in the hour by texting in the keyword of the hour via the Civic Media app. Now, don't text in like you normally would. You got to go get the app and text it in via the app. Once you text in the keyword of the day, excuse me, the afternoon or this hour, I should be as specific as possible here, you will be entered to win the prize that is given away in this hour, either $100 or Brewers tickets. It will also enter you to win one of our fabulous grand prizes, including getaways to Wisconsin Dells and Door County, including gas money to get there. How fabulous is that? And in honor of one of those very giveaways, the word this hour is Dells, D-E-L-L-S, D-E-L-L-S. Start texting that in and get entered to win. It is going to be a fun afternoon. Just a little hint for Jacob, hearing from some of our texters online that the show is not streaming yet. So if we could make sure that we do that, we will get the stream going, folks. Remember, you can always listen with your app. So if the stream ain't working, not to sweat it. We will get it going shortly here. Let me tell you a little bit, again, if you're just joining us on the live stream, the word to win this hour in the 4 o'clock hour is Dells, D-E-L-L-S. You want to text that in for our Scotty Summer Text to Win giveaway. That's going to qualify you to win one of our two getaways. Brewers tickets are $100. Again, that word is Dells, D-E-L-L-S. We, again, are waiting for Congressman Pocan. A vote on the House floor got pushed back a bit, so he will be joining us just as soon as he can. Let me tell you a bit about this misconduct complaint that has been filed by a huge group of lawyers and former judges against Attorney General Pam Bondi. The complaint there, I only had a few minutes to take a look at it. Again, this is breaking news this afternoon. It explains how the Attorney General basically tried to compel, force Department of Justice lawyers to violate their ethical obligations under the guise of quote unquote zealous advocacy. Of course, as every lawyer knows, you can't make any freaking argument that comes across your head. You can represent, and you're indeed obligated to represent your clients in a zealous manner, but that is limited by lawful and ethical measures. Every state's bar says, yes, we have that obligation to zealously advocate for our clients, but we can't make arguments that we know to be untrue, unfounded in the law, unconstitutional, and we can't get up and say facts that aren't true. This particular misconduct complaint against the Attorney General, again, I'd say fairly historic, just I can't even believe I'm saying those words. It focuses on three individual cases or lawyers where department lawyers working for the Department of Justice were terminated or forced to resign as a result of demands that they act unethically, either directly by Ms. Bondi or by a member of her senior staff. Here's what the complaint says. Quote, here by aggressively implementing a zealous advocacy policy that is directed towards conduct in pending and future judicial proceedings and which requires her subordinates to routinely violate the rules of professional conduct, Ms. Bondi has elevated loyalty to the person who appointed her, President Trump, over the interests of her client, the United States. Since the first day on the job, Pam Bondi has made clear that she plans to use the Department of Justice for political pursuits, and she has done just that. Wow. Ouch. You're going to want to watch that space. I'll take a deeper dive into the complaint, have more on that if I find some more salacious language as we go through this afternoon. But again, just a bit of breaking news from across the country. Again, an ethics and misconduct complaint being filed against Attorney General Bondi in Florida by a large group of lawyers led by the Democracy Defenders Fund. I believe we've got Congressman Mark Pocan with me. I'm hearing a little bit of echo, Jacob. Oh, that sounds better. Congressman, are you there with me?
I am. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. You're making news this afternoon, as are the two billionaire babies in chief, right? What is even going on? So I just want to share a couple of these tweets, X posts, whatever we're calling them these days, because wow. So Elon Musk has been tweeting basically all day, slamming the big, brutal bill. We'll get to that, of course, Representative. He tweeted out, should we start a new political party, posting a poll. He says this, time to drop the really big bomb. At real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they haven't been made public. Then Representative Swalwell, your colleague from California, retweeting that. It's just a firestorm. Here's the best part, though. Donald Trump on his Truthy Social puts this out. The easiest way to save money in our budget, billions and billions of dollars, is to terminate Elon's governmental subsidies and contracts. I was always surprised that Biden didn't do it. And Representative Pocan, we're so very proud of you. You jumped right on that and thanked the president for endorsing the legislation that you introduced right around the last time you were on my show. You thanked him for endorsing the Elon Musk Act. What do you make of all of this?
What's the song about a jilted lover? You know, like these guys, their bromance is in serious jeopardy. You know, I mean, you bought yourself a president and now, you know, they're having some problems. They're probably going to have some therapy. I don't know. But in the meantime, I am going to buy a lot of popcorn tonight. And I am just going to enjoy the social media.
Yeah, that literally amongst my colleagues here at social media, all I posted to our internal chat was popcorn. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. I'm just going to watch this. Maybe they do need a little bit of a couples therapist.
I think so. You know, it's hard to be a right wing, you know, inhumane, dictating, authoritarian style personality that they both have and be a couple. Usually someone's a little different than the other. And in this case, you know, they're two sides of the same turd, you know?
Yes, they all want to be the world's billionaire overlord in chief. When you're vying for the same top job, it's a little hard to find an easy piece. All joking aside, Representative Pocan, thank you so much for making time. And I especially want to thank you for your queries that you posed to Rosal Vogt yesterday in the committee hearing. Before we actually get to a wee bit of sound from that hearing, Jacob, do we have time for the setup sound? This is Rosal Vogt back in 2023 talking to a pro-Trump PAC. Do we, sir? No, we don't. So I will just summarize it, Representative, and we'll use that as the kickoff to our further discussion. In it, Rosal Vogt basically gives away the game. He says this is about traumatizing federal workers. Yeah. This is about slashing their budgets, making it so hard for them to do their job, to enforce regulations, to follow the law, to execute faithfully, as government workers are all obligated to do, the laws that you, the first branch of government, have enacted. He gave away the game there. So I just wanted to get your sense of how the hearing went yesterday. Do you think you were able to tease those points out? We've got just about a minute, and then we'll listen to some of what I thought were your more pointed questions yesterday afternoon after the break.
I mean, you know, he's factually incorrect. You know, he's lying. Let's be more honest and blunt. He's lying about not adding to the debt because no one agrees with him, even Republicans. He lied about people who are undocumented getting Medicaid because that's impossible. They can't get federal dollar Medicaid. A state can do it. They can put their own money.
But not Fed.
but not Fed. In fact, a Republican put into the record something about it, and it backed up exactly what I said. So I thanked her for her bipartisanship. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is a guy who's, you know, pretty evil, who's the mastermind behind Project 2025. And this is the embodiment of it.
We're going to talk more with Wisconsin representative of the 2nd Congressional District, Mark Pocan, doing the people's work on the Hill, calling out the lies and the cruelty every day, just like we try to do here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more with the congressman in just a moment.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There you go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any 3 games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the 5th quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sport.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a fine guest to kick us off this beautiful Thursday afternoon. His name is Mark Pocan, of course, Wisconsin's fabulous congressman from the 2nd Congressional District. He went toe-to-toe with the head of the Office of Management and Budget, the architect of Project 2025 yesterday. Gentlemen, and I use that term in its loosest possible sense, named, why am I blanking out? Russell Vogt, of course. You were there. You don't need to hear it, but I do want to share with our listeners a bit of what I thought were some really important moments in that hearing yesterday. Jacob, let's take cut 20.
I think you said the president supports the big bill that was passed out of the House, correct? I think you also said the president does not support cutting Medicare.
Correct.
Okay, so in the bill, there's a $500 billion cut that gets triggered to Medicare. So I know a number of the people who voted for the bill are starting to read it now and finding there's parts they don't like. You might want to take a look at that provision.
As you know,
That's okay. I only have
5 minutes.
Okay. I didn't ask you the question, did I? I'm asking you a question, though. Since we didn't have your remarks this morning, I think we got them this afternoon.
Yeah, the over-talking, like, yeah. Russ Vogt is like the last guy you want to hand an open mic to.
Right, right, exactly.
But that trigger for the Medicare, you know, we're talking about $500 billion that may trigger is existential for so many people.
And that has not gotten enough coverage. Everyone understands there's a, you know, a huge cut to Medicaid, $700 billion, a $300 billion cut to the Affordable Care Act for subsidies. But there's a $500 trillion cut that got triggered because they didn't do their jobs right to Medicare, and they didn't fix it. They could have, and they didn't. So every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted for that bill, voted for a $500 trillion cut to Medicare, our money that we've paid into out of every paycheck, and our employer has paid in for us out of every paycheck. They're stealing our money to give to the feuding guys, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, for their tax break.
Yeah, the billionaire boys that are in a bit of a tiff this afternoon. I don't understand it. I think Republicans, and I'm going to call them MAGAs because it bears no relationship to conservatism as we've understood it for the last 50 years, that the MAGA regime, they know that this is going to hurt people. They're trying to lie about it. That brings me to this next cut about the deficit. I have never been a deficit hawk. I largely think that it's a distraction. But I think it's important to point this out because Republicans are the ones that will scream about the deficit when it is Democratic priorities or a Democratic budget. But when it is a Donald Trump deficit exploding brutal bill, they have very little to say about it. Let's take a listen. This is cut 24.
CBO disagrees with your analysis. Yale and Penn said 13.7 million people will lose health insurance. You also said this won't increase the debt. Is that correct?
The bill will not increase the debt. It will lead to reduced deficits.
The Cato Institute disagrees with you. Moody's disagrees. The CBO disagrees. Senator Hawley and Senator Rand and Senator Collins disagree. Elon Musk disagrees. Virtually everyone on this side of the aisle. So you're saying everyone is wrong, but you are the right one that this does not increase the debt?
I'm saying that all the watchdogs, including the Congressional Budget Office, use a skewed vision of a view of what the baseline is.
They were less than a few percent wrong last time on your tax bill when they predicted it almost dead on. So you're saying this time there's significant changes and they don't know what's going on and only you do. Is that correct?
I'm stating that they use a baseline.
So you disagree with the Cato Institute?
Yes.
And Moody's?
Yes.
And Senator Hawley?
Senator Hawley has a view as to the Medicaid programs that we are working with to articulate why we believe that these reforms do not hurt the beneficiaries that are involved.
Yeah.
I would laugh more if it wasn't so dangerous.
Yeah.
Thank you for making that clear. I never trust anyone who says, I'm the only one that has the truth.
Exactly. And that's what he's doing. But don't forget, I also asked him about Project 2025, because he said on the weekend that, they had nothing to do with it. And then I went through the list of everything that's in there. And there's a lot that, the overlap, obviously, it is the roadmap they're using. And again, exposing this guy for what he is, which is the ultimate partisan hack, is what needed to happen.
He really is. We do have that sound from the Project 2025 exchange. Let's take it really quickly because I think this is important. This is all written in detail in the Project 2025 MAGA regime playbook. Let's take this. This is cut 25, Jacob.
Project 2025. You're one of the authors. You're on the advisory board. You work for Heritage. You're basically January, February, and March in a Project 2025 calendar, right? But you were asked this weekend about it, and you said, no, the administration isn't following Project 2025. So I'll go through lightning rounds. It's only have 2 minutes. Just tell me, coincidence or not, in the Project 25, abolishing Department of Education, you guys are doing that. Is that a coincidence?
The president's view,
coincidence
agenda,
or not?
The president's
coincidence or not? That's all you got to ask.
President's agenda.
Okay, I'll go through the rest. Any diversity, equity, and inclusion?
The president's agenda is
shifting FEMA costs to the states.
The
targeting PBS and the
agenda.
National Public Radio.
The president
freezing
designs.
Federal assistance, restricting gender affirming care, revoking security clearances, stripping civil servants of employment protections, reinstating service members who refuse COVID-19 vaccines, banning transgender people from the military, a hiring freeze, withdrawing from the World Health Organization, sending active duty troops to the southern border, limiting refugee admissions, rescinding temporary protected status designations, capping indirect costs for university-based research, requiring disclosures of foreign gifts to universities, apparently not planes to presidents, asserting the president's power to remove federal officials, and targeting NOAA. Were those all just coincidences that they happened to be in Project 25 and they were just in the back pocket of the president since November?
The president has never been more of a promises made, promises kept president than we've ever had in history. He has run on an agenda. He was very clear on that agenda. He's now enacting that agenda. And those of us who work for him work for his agenda in executing that agenda.
You can stop the tape. Yeah, his promises from Project 2025. I mean, by the way, well done. Unassailably clear.
Yeah.
That this man ain't calling the shots, that he is a mere puppet. I want to dig into this because there's something with the Musk-Trump feud thing that tells me it's not about that. It's about something else.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Trump administration is scrutinizing Wisconsin's top election agency. Federal funding for voter education and poll worker training could be on the line. The U.S. Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division issued a sharp warning to the Wisconsin Elections Commission in a letter yesterday, saying that the agency is out of compliance with federal law. At issue, the DOJ says the commission lacks a proper administrative complaint process, a requirement under the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is a bipartisan body established roughly a decade ago by former Governor Scott Walker. It oversees election guidance for nearly 2,000 local clerks, and the agency does have a complaint system and investigative process in place. Any eligible Wisconsin voter can file a complaint. But the DOJ's letter suggests that may not meet federal standards. Since 2002, Wisconsin has received more than $77 million to help administer elections after HAVA, the post-2000 election law that aimed to make voting more accessible and secure. This latest federal push comes amid continued complaints over a mobile voting van used in Racine during a primary years ago. The city said the van expanded access for voters, but former Racine GOP chair Kenneth Brown disagreed and sued. The case went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which tossed it out earlier this year. The court's liberal majority ruled that Brown wasn't personally harmed and had no standing. State Republican lawmakers are taking another swing. A new bill, backed by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, would make it easier to sue if complaints to the Election Commission were dismissed. That proposal had a public hearing earlier this week. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Critics love The Pit, and so does George Clooney. The medical drama starring Noah Wiley, who also executive produces, is a hit for the streamer Max. Not that it needs help, as people are flocking to it, but it's never a bad thing when you get a celebrity endorsement from your pal George Clooney. Clooney and Wiley starred together on NBC's hit medical drama ER in the 90s. Clooney appeared on Late Night with Seth Meyers and heaped praise on his pal Wiley. Audiences seem to love it, so if you like medical dramas, check it out. If you like golf and comedy, there is a new show starring Owen Wilson you should probably check out. The episodic is called Stick and tells the story of Wilson, who plays a washed-up pro golfer who is given another chance by coaching a talented up-and-comer. Check out new episodes of Stick, which drop Tuesday nights on Apple TV. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, some areas of smoke and lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, a high in the low 70s, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and storms. A mix of sun and clouds for the weekend, more storms possible. Highs both days within a few degrees of 70. Right now it's 80.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers and the NFL, will be with us to talk sports, and Peter Rapine of EPOM's World with a humorous week in review.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Say this. Used to be a saying in politics that, boy, I'll vote for the guy or gal that I want to have a beer with. And I think we are damnedly lucky here in the state of Wisconsin. Our two Democratic congresspeople, those are folks I want to hang out with, have a beer with. We've got one fabulous guest with us this afternoon. It is Congressman Mark Pocan of the 2nd Congressional District, going toe-to-toe yesterday with Russell Vogt, the architect of Project 2025, and literally the harbinger of doom for so many working Americans. Again, thank you for your excellent work yesterday in the committee hearing. We've been listening to a bit of that sound. If you missed any of that, you can always check it out. When we podcast our shows, go to civicmedia.us. Check them out on Apple or Spotify Pods. How does a guy – I mean, Russell Vogt is – nobody voted for this guy.
Yeah.
And yet it seems that between Russell Vogt, Elon Musk, and Stephen Miller, they're the ones that are making the policy calls.
Yeah, Donald Trump is the celebrity, right? I mean, I blame the producers of Celebrity Apprentice for him. And I'll never forgive them because they took this multiple bankrupted business person who didn't pay his vendors, who was awful in every way, made him look successful, put him on TV, gave him some popularity, and then he became president. But the people behind him that are doing this, Russ Vogt is Project 2025. Like, he really is the calendar boy for Project 2025. And, Stephen Miller's all the evil stuff around immigration that's out there. Elon Musk spent $270-$280 million to elect the guy. Like, at the end of the day, Donald Trump is their puppet in some awful ways. And, it's just, we've got to push back, and people want us to push back as hard as we can.
And I thank you for doing that. Elon Musk tweeting today, "You wouldn't have won the presidency without me."
Yeah.
The quiet parts are getting said out loud. I get very concerned when I think about the fact that Russell Vogt, a guy who I think 90% of Americans would be like, "Who the hell is that?" Right? They don't know who this guy is. They don't know they maybe have heard of the Heritage Foundation, but they don't really know. Project 2025 is longer than freaking War and Peace.
Right. It is, pages, I think, or something.
Yeah, it is all of this dense wonkisms. It's hard to parse. But all of this is going to make Americans poorer, sicker, and more economically insecure overall. People will literally die because of what Russ Vogt wants to architect, all in the name of tax cuts for people that don't need any more handouts from the middle class. We've already given the top 1% from us bottom 90% folks $51 trillion since 1981. They don't need any more. Congressman, what do you want folks throughout the state of Wisconsin, but especially in districts, Brian Stiles' district, in Derek Van Orten's district, what do you want them to do now that all of these MAGA regime folks in the state of Wisconsin have voted for this big, brutal bill?
Yeah, I mean, six Republicans, every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted for a bill to take away Medicaid, health care from almost 14 million people, plus more through the cuts to the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. They voted to cut food assistance, the number one program keeping kids out of poverty, to 11 million people in the country. They're cutting education funding, Pell grants for people going to college. They even did things that they didn't need to do, like they took away the ratios in nursing homes for seniors for staffing, and then this $500 billion cut to Medicare. You have to hold those people accountable. And, you know, Ron Johnson, only Ron Johnson could be Ron Johnson, in that he said it's not enough of cuts. So that's
it's
why
it's not cruel enough. I want Ron Rojo got to go, but put that on the bumper sticker as you go out of Wisconsin. It's not cruel enough for Ron.
I know. So I'm not even going to talk about him because honestly, man,
lost cause
too much by the end of the day anyway. And that's a lot. But I'll tell you, I've been doing town halls in other districts, mainly the third district. But I think we're going to start moving around to maybe a few other spots. And I've had 400 people show up in Viroqua, 350 in La Crosse. Even on a Saturday morning in Eau Claire in summer with the farmer's market outside, we had over 125 or so folks. But they want to be heard. And right now, this is the smell test, the Wisconsin Common Sense Values. If this was really a good bill, wouldn't they be going all around their districts telling people what's really in it for them? But instead, they're hiding in their basements because they're told not to do a town hall because they're going to do something like Jody Ernst and say everyone's going to die anyway because this bill will make people at the end of the day die in some cases. So, yeah. You know, we just have to – the common sense is this bill is bad or else they would be publicly talking about it. But then we got to hold them accountable. We have a way to do that next year. But right now, they're going to vote on a lot of other bad things. So contact your rep. If they're going somewhere, they're not doing public town halls, make any event they go to a town hall. Bring the media, tell them you're going to be outside the event, and try to make that member of Congress answer. I used to do that when I was much younger to a member of Congress that I wanted to be heard on. I think people just have to be super participatory in politics.
Well, and whether or not you have the time to be able to come to a town hall to care enough to actually get past the rhetoric and focus on what the result is going to be. Yeah. And that's, you know, I talk about how do you know you're the mark of a political con? And it's when someone just keeps repeating the talking points and won't get down into any of the details. And that is, I don't care which Sunday talk show you're watching, it's all the same.
Yeah.
It is all the same all day long. And no one has mastery of the facts. One of those other tiny little bits that they snuck into the bill to bend a knee to their tech overlords and folks like Peter Thiel, who apparently got seed money from Jeffrey Epstein, right? Who's the architect of J.D. Vance's political ascendancy. They snuck in this provision that says, oh, yeah, we won't regulate artificial intelligence for a decade. I don't know any legislator that I've ever met face to face, even in two dimensions, that's like, you know what I want to do is give away more of my legislative authority.
Yeah. No, Article 1 of the Constitution gives Congress the power of the purse, Congress the power to do tariffs. And we've completely given that up to Donald Trump. So that's already bad enough. But, you know, every member from Wisconsin has not spoke out on the Republican side. And, you know, Gwen and I are doing our best. Gwen is amazing. I love her. We went to an ICE facility on Monday, the only ICE facility in the state, to make sure we were doing our oversight responsibilities. But oversight responsibilities is actually knowing what cuts DOGE is making, is knowing what you're voting for in a bill, is not hurting your constituents when they're going to lose their health care or food assistance. And, you know, there has to be accountability. So, you know, if I were someone in a tighter district like Brian Stile or Derek Van Orden, you know, better figure out a way to listen to your constituents, or you better get to Costco and get a discount card so you can start buying Depends by the case, because, you know, you're going to be in trouble. This is not something that people want us to do, and they're doing it.
One of the things that I find really, specifically if we're talking about Congressman Stile and Van Orden, Stile, I can't believe I'm going to say this, at least has the good style, perhaps, to like stick to the talking point. I don't understand the DVO approach of I'm going to insult the hell out of people. I'm going to lie through my teeth. And then when asked to explain, I'm going to have an explosive anger episode. Like if a constituent is asking you a question in good faith, even if they do so poorly or with tone that you take exception to, you're supposed to be the elected official and take their concerns seriously. I just don't get his entire approach to the very real concerns and the very real consequences that will impact his constituents.
People who have stability issues or perhaps are not as well informed about public affairs, despite being an elected official, I think that's kind of the response, right? In fact, I've noticed he'll actually, you know, put out people's social media who attack him on social media. Come on, social media is trolls, right? If you can't stand up to trolls, I mean, this guy's supposed to be a former Navy SEAL, and I've never seen anyone so afraid of his constituents, right? I mean, it just, but he is MAGA. He thinks that if you do the big lie like Trump, he's still saying no one will lose Medicaid. Off of the bill. And, you know, no one else, like I said, the Cato Institute, Moody's, all these other groups have all said we're going to add to the debt and people are going to lose health insurance and food assistance. And he's still trying to lie about it.
Do you think so? This gets to the point. I think some of this is willful ignorance.
Yes.
I don't want to know. I'm not going to educate myself. And to me, whether it's Joni Ernst saying, let them all eat cake, go ahead and die, or DVO just lying about the Medicaid problem. We're now seeing reporting in the New York Times that not only is healthcare purchased through the Obamacare exchange is going to get nearly double in cost for some people, it will push that also, the big brutal bill will push millions off of the exchanges and they will lose healthcare. He just lies. Do you think he's ever asked a staffer, hey, have you done the math? What is it that these Democrats keep saying? I don't think he asked the question, a complete lack of curiosity.
No, and you know, on Affordable Care Act, I'm glad you brought that up. $300 billion is being cut in subsidies. The whole idea is the subsidies make it affordable. But we were given facts that if we had a 60-year-old couple making $85,000 in my district with the changes in that bill, if they don't change them, they would have a 227% increase in premium, $16,000 additional for their health care because of these cuts. So, of course, some of those folks are not going to be able to do that, and they're going to lose their health care. And that's, again, being documented right now. But, you know, Derek is just doing what Donald Trump does, just give the big lie and let it stand out there. But he doesn't have the personality or the charisma, I guess you have to say, about Donald Trump. And therefore, I think, you know, he's going to be held more accountable at the end of the day.
Yeah, I believe someone said, oh, Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. Oh, Mr. Congressman Derek Van Orten, you're no Donald Trump, which is weird. Is that as a compliment or a cut? Who knows? Congressman, when you look at sort of the work that comes next for you in particular, where are some of the places where you think maybe we can make an inroad? Maybe we can reduce some harm. Where can there be some traction? What are you focused on for your next step, sir?
So we have amazing good news on the litigation front. Our founding fathers did a great job, and the rule of law is largely working. There's been over 250 lawsuits against the illegal actions of Donald Trump. 185 have already been adjudicated in a positive way for us. And Trump caves in. You know, Attorney General Josh Paul will tell you. Yeah, when he's working with the other attorney generals, you know, other than a couple high profile cases, and he still is in legal battles over them, the Mr. Garcia in El Salvador and the AP News, but everything else, he just caves. So support the groups doing litigation. There's litigation trackers out there, and that's important. Communication. It's not misinformation. It's disinformation out there. We just have to counter it. So when Russ Vogt comes to a committee, and then we can share the video and the audio like you're doing, people will understand, oh, yeah, they're full of beep.
Beep.
That is important to have out there. And then finally, elections have consequences. We're hurt by them right now. But, you know, April, we sent the biggest national message. And it wasn't that we won that seat, and it wasn't that we won it by 10 points. It was the turnout.
Yes.
That turnout was so big. That was mid-level congressional turnout for an April nonpartisan primary. That's where we have some real power in the next year's election.
That is U.S. Representative for the 2nd Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin, Mark Pocan, our friend and yours. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please keep representing Wisconsin as you do, sir.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Maggie.
We're going to be joined on the other side by the Center for American Progress Action Fund Senior Fellow in Immigration, Tom Javits. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take yourself out to the ballgame at a historic winter field in Wisconsin Rapids for rafter baseball and anything but Travis Kelce night. On June 7th, Anyone But Kelce night is a celebration of your favorite pop star and your least favorite tight end. Travis Kelce and the number 87 are banned from winter field for the night. So trade in your Travis Kelce jersey for a new Raptors jersey and celebrate Taylor, as she can do no wrong. So take yourself out to the ballgame at historic winter field in Wisconsin Rapids for rafter baseball and anything but Travis Kelce night.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope it is as warm and beautiful where you are as it is here. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's finally June, and that means it is time for Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win Contest. The word of this hour, which will get you qualified to win one of two prizes that we give away every 4 o'clock hour all through next week, is either $100 or Brewers tickets. And the word that will get you entered to win one of our grand prizes, a getaway to either Wisconsin Dells, Wis Vegas, as I like to call it, or Door County, including your gas money, is drumroll, Dells, as in one of the places that you can get away to, D-E-L-L-S. Be sure you text that in via the app, not the regular text line, before we hit 5 o'clock. Got a great guest for everybody next. His name is Tom Javits. He's a senior fellow in immigration for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We are in Trump 2.0, and we've got Trump Travel Ban 2.0. It's bigger, badder, and even more discriminatory than we had before. Also, a tiny bit of news that you may have not caught. Just within the last couple of days, the Trump administration has deleted a webpage and evidence summarizing a study that found that undocumented immigrants are arrested at less than half the rate of native-born U.S. citizens for violent and drug crimes, and at less than a quarter of the rate for native-born citizens when it comes to property crimes. Tom, all of that as a place setter for our discussion about immigration. What are real solutions? What do those look like? And why are mass deportations simply not an answer to what we really need to do to address some of our country's immigration problems?
Yeah, thanks so much for kicking us off with that. I mean, you know, I've been in this space long enough that I know that we used to have constructive conversations about immigration. When I first got to Capitol Hill, when I first started working on this stuff, I left the ACLU where I was litigating, and I went in 2009. And I was part of a totally top secret bipartisan effort to try and work on immigration reform legislation that would focus on reforming the legal immigration system, focus on reforming the humanitarian protection system, focus on reforming, you know, providing a path to citizenship for people who are here. It was really a comprehensive approach to figuring out how to modernize the immigration system. Our laws have not been updated in any meaningful way since 1990. We haven't had a legalization program to provide people who are undocumented an opportunity to earn legal status since 1986. I mean, the laws are really.
I don't like to butt in, but I want people to hear what you just said. We have not had a pathway to, if someone came here illegally, we have not created a legal mechanism for them to attempt to obtain legal status since when, Tom?
Yeah, so 1986 was the last time there was legislation to provide a pathway for longtime residents to get legal status. And we think about something like DACA. A lot of your viewers are familiar with DACA. And we think about DACA being young people and dreamers and all the stuff around that. To qualify for DACA today, for the folks who got in, that program was announced in 2012. That was 13 years ago. To qualify in 2012, you had to have been here for 5 years. So they came in 2007. So you're talking about people who came as children 18 years ago. When you hear people talking about DACA recipients today and efforts, ongoing efforts from the Trump administration to end DACA, they're talking about people who came here as children and at this point in time have all been here a minimum of 18 years already.
It's just mind-boggling. There has been so much fear-mongering. It really is all fear-monger. I mean, the immigration policy is fear-monger and then mass deportation with guys dressed in full, like they're being dropped into Fallujah. I don't understand. Tell our listeners why, Tom, none of this is actually making anyone safer.
Yeah, no, I mean, so you started off with, you know, the reference to the data. I mean, there is data out there about, you know, criminality and the propensity of individuals to commit crime based on immigration status. And it's absolutely true, and it's been true for a long time, that undocumented immigrants and immigrants broadly, you know, are arrested less often for crimes than U.S. citizens, for instance. And so, you know, that makes sense, of course. You've got a population that largely doesn't want to get, you know, onto the radar of people. And so, you know, they're fearful of it being taken away from them if they're in lawful status and they're afraid of removal. And so they follow the rules. These are folks who follow the rules by and large. In the Trump administration, they are not driven with their immigration policy by public safety as their driving force. Their priority is numbers and sort of spectacular events. And so that's why you hear them talking about creating immigration arrest quotas, and why you hear that Stephen Miller, the president's deputy chief of staff, gets on the phone with high-level or low-level ICE officers to berate them and threaten them with termination if they don't get their arrest numbers up. And so, you know, their focus is on getting numbers up. The number of people who are in ICE detention right now who have no criminal history whatsoever is 6 or 7 times higher than it was when they first came to office. They're arresting folks on the street. They're taking people who are lawful students who are here studying at our best institutions, and they're picking them up off the streets and trying to deport them. And they're taking people, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who are in lawful status, who have work authorization, who are raising families, and they're taking their immigration status away from them, making a problem that's already bad so much worse.
So it's not making us any safer. What do you say to those folks that are listening out there? It's like, I don't really care about the percentages or propensity or any of that, or if people, I just want all these people who are here illegally removed. Or if they've committed, if they've got one parking ticket, get them out of here. Why won't that make people safer? What's, I think that is one of the biggest sort of cognitive bits of dissonance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, people's visceral reaction of dissatisfaction with the current system is understandable. And that's the thing that I think we're often caught in this trap where it feels like because, you know, on the side that's trying to advocate for humane, you know, solutions, it looks like we're defending the status quo. We're not defending the status quo. We're just saying the answer is not indiscriminate mass deportation.
The answer is not indiscriminate mass deportation. As an economist, I'll say this. These dollars and law enforcement officers that we're directing to that aren't available for the actual police work that actually keeps us safe. My big thanks to Tom Javits, very patient individual this afternoon. Can't wait to have you back, Tom, so we can continue this discussion. Up next, we've got William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. We're going to talk about Medicaid and the fact that folks will be losing insurance. Up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The feud between Elon Musk and President Trump got a lot uglier today.
I'm very disappointed in Elon. I've helped Elon a lot.
Trump is now threatening to cut Musk's government contracts and now says he asked Musk to leave. Tesla shares plunged, as Jason Brooks reports.
Tesla's stock bore the brunt of the spat, plummeting 14%, wiping out more than $180 billion in market value and lowering the EV maker's valuation below $1 trillion.
A Massachusetts teenager who was arrested by ICE agents has been released from custody, but the 18-year-old originally from Brazil says he was traumatized.
No one deserves to be down there. You sleep on concrete floors. The bathroom, I have to use the bathroom in the open with like 35-year-old men.
Agents admitted his father was their intended target, but they found the teenager to be in the U.S. illegally. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.